all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope you stay glued to our website, kptz.org. Our website is much more than a place to listen to today's show. For example, you can find the biographies of all of our hosts and DJs. You can look up earlier listings. You can look up calendar listings to see what's going on around town. And you can even sample some other shows in addition to our town. Much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as podcasts. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis, and the name of this show is Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who were those guys in that tiny little flat-bottom boat taking underwater pictures near the Marine Science Center? And who are those caffeine-starved drivers impatiently waiting at the Mean Bean Coffee Hut near QFC? Is that particular coffee really worth the wait? And then there's the gossip circle down at Don's Pharmacy lunch counter. They never run out of things to say or people to say it about. Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating people. This show, Our Town, tries to profile some of the singular personalities who live here. But the show's only a half hour long, which is definitely not long enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. So it's a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Brenda Wildcat, a woman who survived a rough childhood that included being placed into foster care at the age of 13. She was one of six kids in an Illinois household where there was never quite enough money. She started doing odd jobs in the neighborhood at the age of 8, shoveling snow, watering plants, helping with all sorts of chores. By the time she was a teenager, she was working several jobs at a time, cleaning motels, waitressing, and whatever came up. She was pregnant at 17, had her daughter when she was 18. 3 years later, she had a son. I guess it's fair to say she's had several difficult relationships with men over the years, including the fathers of her two children. But Brenda's a survivor. Most of this show is going to be devoted to how she managed to raise her kids, mostly on her own. Welcome to the show, Brenda. So tell me a little bit about your children.
I have a daughter that lives in Florida with three grandchildren. And I have a daughter living here in Squim that's transgender. I have two grandchildren there.
So five grandchildren altogether.
Five grandchildren altogether. Three granddaughters and two grandsons.
Okay, you showed me a picture of your grandchildren in Florida the other day, and I must say I think you told me she was 15-year-old granddaughter is really quite a beauty.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Believe it. Yeah, I have a 15-year-old granddaughter.
And her mother is currently in university studying. What's she studying?
She's a teacher. She's gone to college. This is her second college now. She's graduating May 5th, and I'll be going down there to go see my grandchildren and see her graduate again in college.
That's really good. It's hard work going to college.
Oh, yeah. She's a hard worker, like her mama. That's a good thing.
That's good to hear. Transgendering is something that raises all sorts of emotions with all sorts of people. So tell me a little of the background. How did it come about? When did your child, who was born a male, decide that he wanted to become a she?
Well, they've been married for 6 years, him and his wife. And then all of a sudden, it came out of the closet that he wanted to be a female. Well, he ended up mixed feelings about it at first because he was afraid he would lose his wife, but he had to do it because he felt if he didn't do it, he would have committed suicide.
Wow, that's heavy.
Went through a lot of depression, he went through.
Yeah, But he took an unusual approach because he was actually on television on a show on TLC, correct?
Yes.
How did that happen? How did he end up being in a TV show?
Well, he figured that it needed to be out, his feelings and stuff like that. Pretty much he needed some help. And by coming out with the whole thing, hopefully someone would help him out on that. And other people also by doing the filming-wise he was going through.
Did he know these TV people already or did he get in touch with them? How'd he find them?
Good old computers nowadays. The internet.
Yeah, so he found people, producers, I guess, who were looking to do a show about this. I haven't seen any of the show. Did you watch it?
I've seen parts of it when they were doing the filming and stuff. I've been in it, but I didn't go through all of it or anything like that because I'm a working woman and I'm busy constantly.
Right.
So I wasn't there, but he has done with his family and his own family and his dad's side of the family and his friend be part of it and everything.
In the show, where did they start? Did they start when he first was talking about transitioning?
He was working at a place in Squim, and he was going through more and more motions of wanting to come out by dressing like a woman and everything else. So for them to do anything, they wanted him to go to work with dressing as a woman and start doing everything as a woman.
Hmm. So did he tell his boss ahead of time, or did he just show up one day dressed as a woman?
No, he asked his boss about it, if he can come as who he is.
Right.
Inside, and they're like, well, we're not really. He says, well, I've got to do it because I'm hurting inside and I just need to do it. So he just went in and did it. He was scared, but yeah, he did it. There was a little bit of support there, too. So,
well, that's good. That's good. What about his friends? Were they supportive or was it sort of a mixed bag?
He told his friends and they were like, what? Mm-hmm. But, you know, due time, they did feel uncomfortable about it. But he's got one that's been very, very supportive. He's got his own family and they still together. They still talk. He grew up with two boys that were like brothers to him in Squim. Mm-hmm. And they didn't understand, but yet, like they said, you're still that person.
Right. It's the same person, but yet it's a concept that most of us would, if you're used to dealing with someone one way and then they're another way, it's, you got to wrap your head around it.
Yeah.
And as a mother, obviously you want to support your child.
I'm not giving up on my child. They make their own decisions in life. Whether it's right or wrong, I can't do anything about it. It's their life. I prefer them to be happy than lose them.
Yes, and I can certainly see that. You said he's married 6 years. So how many years, roughly, has this transitioning been going on?
I'd say about 3 to 4. It's been a long time. Yeah. I've lost track of time and everything.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. And the marriage, you mentioned that the two of them are still together.
Yes. Two beautiful children.
Yes. Who are quite young at this stage, right?
3 and 1.
Okay. And his wife is obviously in there.
Yes. Very supportive.
That's good. A lot of women might not be, but, you know, as you say, it's the same person, really. You know, I don't really know a lot about this. I can't pretend that I do. But I also do know that if you completely are transitioning, there are multiple surgeries involved.
Oh, yeah. That's the one thing I'm very concerned about. A lot of it. But I can't do anything about it but just wait and hope and pray nothing happens and everything comes out fine.
Have the surgeries begun?
Oh, yeah. It just started this year. He ended up going in for the surgery, had the bottom done. He's had his breasts, so pretty much a woman now.
Yeah, wow. That I think would be painful. I'm not a big favor of painful stuff.
I ain't either. I don't like needles. I don't like any surgery or anything like that. But yeah. It's just that if this is what he needs to go on, or I have to be there for him. It's my child, period. I'm not just going to abandon them because of something that they've made their own decision on.
Right. Well, surgery like that must be very expensive. Does he have insurance that will cover it?
Yes.
That's good.
He's had his surgery, and it covers everything, and it's more because of it. It's more of emotion and mental part kind of thing where they had to have it done. I mean, I didn't think it would actually happen because with being a cosmetic thing, I mean, look at us women. There's a lot of things we would like to change, but it's cosmetic and it doesn't cover on the insurance.
That's true.
It comes out of the pocket, you know, kind of thing.
If a woman wants to have her breasts reduced or enhanced,
it has to be a physical health situation.
Right, exactly.
So this is covered under insurance. Being transgender, it is that way because of being a mental and physical thing.
Interesting. I had no idea. How old is she now?
She'll be 30 in February.
Okay. You were just
starting to tell my age. Quit this.
You know, counseling. Did she go to much counseling before going ahead with the surgery?
When the surgery first came out, he had to go to a lot of counseling before they did this.
Right.
And the counselors had to diagnose it to know what he's actually going through to order this. To approve, before they even did the surgery or anything, they had to prove it. And that was the only way they could do it.
Okay. Did you go to any counseling sessions as a accompanying him?
I did one, but that was all I could do. Busy schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Even though I would love to, so that way I know what was going on, but I didn't get to.
Such a life-changing thing. Some people move from the West Coast to the East Coast. That's a big change. Or they changed careers. That's a big change. But changing your gender is a much bigger change than either of those things. It must be a very difficult decision to make.
I've gone into depression, but nothing like what transgenders do. There's all types of depression. I can't judge either way because I don't know what they're going through. Or anybody else shouldn't do that because they don't know what they're going through. So you shouldn't judge. Just be more supportive with them.
What about the father of your child? Is he still in the picture?
No, he had committed suicide.
That's sad.
It was very hard for my son, too.
How old was he when that happened?
I'd say he was 27.
Oh, so it's relatively recent.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering if his father was giving him any support or opposition, obviously.
Oh, if his dad was alive, he'd be, oh, wow. Yeah, he wouldn't have been very supportive at all.
That's too bad. His dad, did he have any mental issues at all?
As far as I know, he had bipolar. That's what I heard after he had passed away.
Huh. Now, it's known that bipolar can be hereditary. Did your child have any testing about bipolar for him?
He did a lot of counseling, but he wasn't really, to my opinion, I don't think he was honest with himself at that time when he was talking to counselors. But it's done, it's over with. He's doing his counseling now.
Yeah, at this stage, it is what it is.
Yes.
But it can't be that easy. Now, I saw some pictures of your child, both before and after the transition. And when he was a male, I mean, he's fairly large, it looks like, in the pictures.
Yes.
Let's take a guy who's, you know, 5'5 and weighs 120 pounds or something. It might be easier physically to dress as a woman than someone. I couldn't tell how tall he was, but he looked like a tall guy.
He's taller than I am.
I'm just saying that the outward manifestation some would be easier for some people than other people.
He was very muscular.
Right.
And he did hunting, he did fishing, he did manly stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But
he looked like a big burly guy. And
when he was growing up, I've never seen the feminine out of him wise, but yet I see more of the masculine. So it was like confusing to me. I have a brother that's gay, and he made fun of that in a way because he thought that was disgusting. And I was like, okay. But when he come out of this way, then it was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And your brother who is gay, have you talked with him about this? Does he have any views?
He's very supportive also. My whole family is very supportive.
That's really good. Some families, frankly, would not be that supportive.
Well, I went down and see my mother in July, and my mom didn't know about it or anything like that. And my mom was very close to my children. And I told her about it, and she just kind of gave me that dumbfounded look. And I says, Mom, that's the way he is now. And she says, that's okay. He's still my grandson, still my grandchild.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's very...
Is he happy? And I says, that's what he wants.
Yeah. Well, that's very tolerant and enlightened to be that way. We tend to think that older people are set in their ways and can't accept change. And yet your mother sounds like a very strong, wonderful woman to be able to accept her grandchild that way.
Well, it's just the family. Family's family, no matter what.
And his sister, she lives on the opposite coast in Florida, as you mentioned. Has she seen him physically since the transition?
No, and she doesn't want it.
That's interesting.
She's a Christian, and she thinks that God created, and that shouldn't be changed. But she's got to face the facts sooner or later, because the grandchildren need to be family. And it's hard for me to see that the kids don't get to see each other.
Yeah, yeah, in a couple of years.
And it's harder that my daughter and my daughter now are not close. They used to be very, very close. When they were little. But with them being apart, yeah, it hurts as a mother.
Yeah, I can see that. So your daughter, your Florida daughter, has been living back there for quite a while?
She's been living there since she was 8.
Okay. Are there any plans for the two of them to get together? Or is it still too touchy to
All
consider?
I can say is I hope and pray so they come together without a bad tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah, that would
when
be.
When it's too late.
Do they talk on the phone at all, as far as you know? Or online?
Nowadays it's texting. No yeah. talking is yeah. texting.
Oh, this is true. This is true. People don't talk anymore, you know?
No, they text. And it's like, really?
Yeah, I find it interesting that the things people say in texts that you wonder, would they say that in person?
Yeah, I'd rather call than turn around and text. I get more in when I'm talking than I can text.
Yeah, well, yeah. For one thing, my typing's so bad that, although...
I took typing, but I flunked typing because I was just playing with the typewriter. I was bored.
Well, yeah. But the thing is, you know, I actually use dictation mode for most texts, and then you look at it and it didn't quite understand you, and it sends things that you didn't really say.
Oh, now they got the computer, you just talk to it. It'll just type it for you.
Yeah, but sometimes it gets the wrong words.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's like the GPS, you know? Take you there, next thing you know, it's not there.
Yeah, I've been in that situation many times. So is the transition complete at this point, or is there still more happening?
He just went in about a couple of weeks to have the surgery again because it started closing. So he had a lot of difficulties with it, so he had to have this surgery done all over again.
Ouch.
So yeah, pretty sore.
Yeah, that sounds not like fun.
No.
And in terms of work, is he working somewhere? Are his co-workers fine with...
Right now, he's being more stay-at-home mom. for his children.
I see.
Her children. I should start saying she and forget about he now.
I know. But obviously, having given birth to a male child, you're used to referring to the male child as the male child.
I slip up. Believe me, I sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not, you know, meaning to, but.
It's hard. It's hard. So if she is being a stay-at-home mom, what about her partner, her wife? Is she working?
She's working, yes. She's doing teaching also, which I'm very glad that she's doing because she really enjoys the job that she's got now, teaching.
Well, that's good.
Children. So, yes.
That's good. Someone has to come up with a paycheck, as we all know.
Yeah, but she enjoys, you know, being around children and stuff like that. And I'm very proud of her for, you know, teaching the grandchildren even. They're very amazing what they learn.
Yeah, so. They're little sponges, pick up everything.
They're like monkeys. See?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, in your head, it sounds like you accept what's happening, but obviously it's a big change for you.
Very big change.
And the people around you, I'm not now here talking about your children or your grandchildren. I'm more talking about your partner or your friends. How are they with the whole thing?
My friends, they understand. And my partner that I'm with understands. Because if not, then I wouldn't be there. You know, I'm not going to choose friendship and partners or anything over my child. My child is my child. And I don't care what people have to say. As long as my child's happy and I live with it. You don't have to. I do.
Mm-hmm. But obviously, one wants people around that are supportive. You don't want any friction.
Me, myself, I am enjoying my children until I die. That's it. My children and my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what people's opinions are or anything like that. I mean, I like their advice. But when it comes to my children, I'm more supportive with them.
Yeah, not everyone would be as supportive as you are. So I congratulate you on that.
I know. I've seen a lot of different things in my life with foster care and stuff like that. It's hard for kids.
Yeah, I think it would be really hard.
And it's hard to be a parent. I mean, kids don't come with manuals, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they're all different, you know?
Everybody's different, yes.
So you have to.
Inside and out, you know? And kids go through a lot of changes years after years. And it's hard to watch what they struggle through because people just give up on them. Some of them, you know, tried their best to get help for them. But sometimes you just don't get help.
When you were a kid, you were in the foster care system.
Mm-hmm.
Did you maintain any friendships or relationships with either foster parents or other kids who happened to be in the homes with you?
When I went in foster care, I helped out a lot of children. I mean, I had seen so many kids go through life that they didn't understand. And they figured that being away from their family, it's their fault. And it's a burden to them. And it's very hard for children to understand that. It's not their fault in a lot of ways. But it takes a burden to it where they do feel it's their fault.
Mm. And so have you stayed in touch with any of those kids?
I've seen a lot of them that I had in foster care. But with me being up here in Washington, I don't see a lot of them.
Yeah, how did you end up in Washington anyhow? Because you were born in Illinois and you moved around a bit.
I was born in Baker, Oregon.
Oregon, okay.
Yeah.
But you lived in Illinois.
But raised more in Illinois.
Okay, gotcha.
But we did a lot of traveling. Yeah. But no, I came up here to get custody of my son.
Okay.
And I won.
Good, good. And you decided to stay up here.
Yes. It's better than Nevada.
Yeah, that's where you...
Beauty's here, not in Nevada, unless you like mountains.
Yeah, yeah.
And desert.
Although there are times when I wish for a little of that desert sun.
The sun's not too bad, but desert, yeah, there's nothing there for kids. There's nothing. I mean, and then they wonder why children get in trouble. I tried to find something to do. I mean, I was there.
It's sort of, in a way, it's the same everywhere.
Yeah.
Because people around here might say that a small town like Port Townsend or Hadlock or whatever, there's not much for kids to do either.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot more things out here than in Nevada. I mean, kids could go walking on trails and watching nature here and stuff. Nevada? Yeah. Bonfires. Get drunk, you know, get into drugs or whatever. But here they can do more nature and stuff like that, outdoor stuff.
That's true.
Than anything else. Yeah. I mean, I lived in a lot of small towns and there's nothing for kids. That's a good thing that people need to understand too. Need things for kids to do and not be on a computer all day long.
That's what a lot of them seem to do.
Because that gets them in trouble, too. Right.
Well, believe it or not, we are almost out of time here on the show. And I want to thank you for being a guest on the show and talking about your child transitioning from male to female is an enormous subject, and I want to applaud how you're handling it and being compassionate and loving. Because it's, I'm sure, not always easy to accept something like that and embrace it. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been Brenda Wildcat, a mother whose child is transitioning from male to female, and we've been talking about some of the issues that have come up over the past few years. In addition to thanking Brenda, I also want to thank my partner, John McPherson. He's the man in the glass booth, the editor and producer of Our Town. He's the one who smooths out all the pauses and you knows and ers and general grunts that slip into every conversation. He makes me and my guests sound so much better than we really are. More intelligent and eloquent. I also want to thank Program Director Larry Stein, Board Chair Robert Ambrose, and Station Manager Kate Ingram. All three work really hard to make KPTZ into an excellent community radio station. I also want to thank you, the listener. KPTZ is a community radio station. That means all of us here at the station are volunteers. We give our time to the community station because we all believe that Jefferson County needs a free local voice, and we need your support. We need your cash donations, of course, but we also need people who want to help out in all aspects of the station. KPTZ has a number of brilliant DJs, all playing great music. We also have some shows like this one that are in a talk format. This particular show, Our Town, is designed to help you get to know some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We profile some of the unique individuals who make Jefferson County the special place that it is. We're signing off for today, but keep listening to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.